Hello, everybody. Super Marcy here with Chrysosaurus Rex.
As I am now known.
Yes. We are here for an audio review of a brand new documentary that is coming out in Australia through the one and only Monster Pictures. It is called Lost Soul, The Doomed Journey of Richard Stanley's Island of Dr. Moreau. And I'll just quickly read off the IMDb synopsis. Behind the scenes chronicle of how clash of vision, bad creative decisions, lack of interest, and really bad weather plagued the disastrous production of the infamous 1996 remake of The Island of Dr. Moreau. So if anyone remembers that movie, let's put it quite frank, it was not a good movie.
No, it pretty much tanked, although I had a bizarre fascination with it when it first came out. I think, again, being a lover of monster movies, just with the makeup and the fact that I could scare my youngest brother by just, like, he would freak out, although he was probably 5 or 4 at the time, with the opening credits, he would freak out by that, and that gave me great joy.
Quite famously, the movie had Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer, who were probably the death nail in the movie.
Yeah.
Just due to Brando being Brando and Kilmer.
Being Kilmer at the time.
At that time, just having a massive ego. But just everything that could go wrong went wrong. I'm surprised a movie was even made, to be quite honest.
But it's one of the most famous stories of a film that could have been that never became in Hollywood history, and in, of course, being one of the most famous with the clashes. But again, like Marcy said, with knowing what happened, if you know the story before watching the doco, you still sit there and wonder, wow, this actually resulted in something, something very, very disappointing. But yeah.
It was quite crazy. And I guess a lot of people probably have a weird fascination with the movie, just knowing about how disastrous it was. I remember watching it, like, way back when it came out, not really being that impressed, I think.
I think the first time I watched it, I think I enjoyed it because I'm pretty young at the time, but just it didn't bother me. I didn't really notice it. I just was like, wow, okay, this is... And it was really my first introduction, because I'm a massive, massive fan of H.G. Wells. But this was my first visual look at what one of his films could have looked like, with the exception of the old 60s War of the Worlds film. And it was just fascinating to see this world come to life. But what I really find fascinating is that there are so many people out there that have a passion for a certain book or a certain time and period. And there are some people that you can hear when they start talking and they blab on and you're like, oh yeah, they're kind of, you know, talking out of their ass or they've got a bit of knowledge. But within the first 5 minutes of the doco, we meet Richard Stanley as he is today. And he talks about when he was first introduced to the book, the fact that he's got one of the very first...
that's a first edition.
Yeah.
Like,
but not only that, it's the way he talks about it is if he... as if he was Wells himself, you know, the depth of knowledge that he had of the history of the publication of the book beforehand, and just everything with the other films that had come along. You sit there and you think, geez, if I was a person with a brain in it, I would be like, here's billions of dollars, go out and make your movie, mate, because he knows what he was doing. And it's just, yeah. Other people did not share that vision.
It's quite clear he had a big passion, well, probably still has, for the Island of Dr. Moreau. And recently when we did our movie exchange, which we sort of forgotten about for a little bit, I gave Chris the 1933 or 32 movie, The Island of Lost Souls, which was, I think, one of the first adaptations.
And it remains the best adaptation. I mean, look, a lot was changed because, like, what Richard Stanley actually states in the book is that they all the films usually end with the revolt, with the beginning of the revolt of the Beast People. When, in fact, if you're, you've gone out there and actually read the book.
Which I did.
Which Marcy has and I did as a young boy. You'll actually realise that that's not the case. The case is that that happens pretty much midway through, and then there's a whole other side of the story, which is really, really fascinating. And had Richard Stanley made his film, that's what it would have been. We would have seen all of that.
Yeah. And there's a lot more to the book that does get left out, even though it's like, 100 pages or so. So, yeah, when you actually sit down watching this movie, he seemed like a very, you know, very passionate for it. He knew what he wanted, even though it went through several changes. You know, he was given, what was it, like $9 million budget, and yeah. I think it just ended up skyrocketing because someone had the brilliant idea to put Marlon Brando. But you know what? If you took out Brando and his original cast had Bruce Willis and James Woods, and, you know, if they had someone else for Moreau, I don't think things would have gotten the way that they did, because a big part of what happened with the film was because of Brando, and at the time his daughter sadly committed suicide, so he had a lot to deal with his family. So understandably that put things, you know, behind, but I think a lot of inexperienced people were there as well, not quite sure what to do. A lot of things got delayed. The scouting, the areas, just I don't think. And I think at that point Richard just didn't have enough grasp because it was a bigger movie and he's, you know, an indie guy.
And it's just that indie guy coming into a world that he still really doesn't understand, and that's kind of happened a lot lately with a lot of indie filmmakers coming into the big leagues, and they really have no understanding of how these big pictures work, or it's just like, oh gosh, what am I doing? And that's the problem. It's basically because some foolish person was like, oh yeah, I know Brando, let's put him in it.
The funny thing is Brando actually liked Richard Stanley.
That's the thing. He really enjoyed him. They got along great. It's just Brando's acting, you know, he probably shouldn't have been acting at that time in his life.
He just added so much, like, he wanted to change this, do that, and, like...
And basically a lot of it came because with one of the actors being of German background, he came up and was like, hey, you're the German actor. Very poor Brando impersonation there, but...
Marco Hofschneider.
Yeah, and he basically tried to speak German to him, but it was basically Brando mumbling. And because he went off and talked to the little guy that ended up being in the film, Nelson, last name escapes me, he went up and he said, oh, I speak Spanish, and he did the same thing. And he goes, ah, si, sir, si, sir. And because he accepted the fact that Marlon Brando bullshitted his way through Spanish by mumbling, he decided, yep, I like this guy. I'm going to give him more screen time.
Was the shortest man in the world. Yeah. Who they wound up making a really weird creature thing and had to be in all of Brando's scenes.
And that was basically because he accepted the fact that Brando could speak Spanish even though he really couldn't. But look, I think Richard Stanley is a very talented guy. He had a great vision, and it was basically just a combination of things because people wanted to make it a bigger picture, which it shouldn't have been. And had it been his original vision, we would have had probably one of the greatest horror films of the 90s, and probably the best adaptation of the book, because it would have been faithful in terms of story structure. But the makeup effects, regardless of what you say of the final product or whatnot, they are phenomenal. They're some of the best. I think
they could have been even more with the concepts that you see that yeah. Richard Stanley had. But this production, just once they got rid of him and, you know...
John Frankenheimer came
yeah,
and stepped in.
Yeah, basically because he wanted to work with Brando.
According to one of the stars. But well, look, I mean, that's what... Yeah, it was a shame because John Frankenheimer is a very good filmmaker, and I still have respect for him for the fact that he did step in and he did manage to put something together. But still, it's just... people's egos coming in, and it was just like, wow, this is a really poisonous mixture of people.
It just really became, they just partied and, yeah. you know, didn't well, give a shit in there.
You would have loved to have been the Australian crew on that because, wow, I don't think we've ever had as much fun having a big production company here.
Yeah, and you hear all sorts of stories about things that happen, and in fact, I think they actually discovered Richard Stanley out in the middle of nowhere, and then he actually was one of the creatures in the background of the movie.
And it was really quite funny. They showed a scene.
He wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, he was supposed to have been sent home, but there's a really funny moment. They show a scene from the film, and, you know, it's Val Kilmer turning his head, and if they zoom in close enough, and if you manage to go back and can tolerate watching the film again, you can see Richard Stanley in there. And he's still, in IMDb, he does get credit for being in the film, because he was. And a lot of the other crew members started to notice, yeah, this extra's not doing what we want. I mean, he's not taking his mask off, and it's like, yeah, that's because it was Richard Stanley. And the rumour is he was doing it to cause trouble, but he wasn't. He was like, oh, let's have a look. Let's see what they're doing with my film. And he's like, oh, wow. Yeah, this is...
Yeah.
And he had fun. And
yeah, I think a lot of people were really upset that they wound up getting rid of him.
Yeah, because
he could have had a good rapport with people.
Not only did he have a good rapport, but he's a charming fellow. Like, he's one of the nicest guys in the world. He got along well with his crew, which, you know, a lot of directors nowadays particularly don't have. Or, you know, you don't see many people talk about their directors the way his cast and crew talked about him. Like, Fairuza Balk's...
I mean, she tried to leave.
She did try to leave, but her dedication to him was just fascinating. The insight that we don't get on the film, I mean, sadly, Brando, because he's no longer with us, but Val Kilmer is mentioned and we hear about him from other people.
Of course, he's not involved in this. I don't know what he would have said.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been interesting had they interviewed him. I mean, they interviewed one of the actors that ended up not being in it, which is the great Rob Morrow, who was going to be in the role that eventually went to David Thewlis, who... He's not mentioned at all. His casting is not mentioned. The character is not mentioned. It's almost as if they went to him and he said, now my lawyers are saying, I don't want to be mentioned or anything. So that was interesting because he was very vocal about, like, going, oh, shit, what the hell have I gotten myself into? He doesn't even want to think about that movie.
We also don't get, like, Ron Perlman or Tamura Morrison. They're not even mentioned.
Well, you see Ron Perlman in the background a couple of times getting makeup on. But again, there's a few people whose insights would have been like, ooh, this could be interesting. But
I mean, overall, it is a really interesting
doco. The best doco I have ever seen, particularly on the subject of a film that ended up being nothing. I mean, you know, it ended up producing something, but, you know, just...
Of the what really could have
been.
Yeah,
look, there are so many examples throughout film history of films that could have been that never was, be that they just shut down production straight away or it was given to another director and then that was given to another director and they eventually made something, like was the case with Watchmen. But this was something... This is just the pinnacle of cinema history. It was modern cinema history and, you know, what could have been. And... Everybody involved with the film at the time are like, yeah. And one of the producers even sits back and says, had people just let Richard been on board and say, yeah, okay, we give him his $8 to $9 million, he would have gone off. And like I said, he would have made probably the greatest horror film of the 90s. And it would have been probably in the top five. It
would have been a completely different movie.
Would have been fantastic. Mm.
Overall, yeah, if you're a cinema fan, I'd highly recommend the documentary. It's out at the end of the month.
May 20th, to be exact, yeah.
You can find it on Monster Pictures' website, which is monsterpictures.com.au, or you can grab it at JB Hi-Fi. My rating's 5.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 5 too. Look, it's probably the best doco I've seen since One Day in September, and it's a fun watch. You'll enjoy it and just think, wow.
Get a good insight into Hollywood works. So go watch it.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Signing off.